So tonight's Shiloh of the week really happened. It actually really happened this week. Except, to be honest, I didn't really get the Shiloh. Somebody told me up to the day got the Shiloh, but they wanted to hear if they possibly would, I would have said the same thing. So I said, yes. I'll try to share with you what the Shiloh was. The Shiloh, my Shiloh, just happened this past Sunday night, that there was a wedding, and the Messiah Kedushin, I guess, lost his place in the city, whatever it was. That was the question. That not one person out of the 500 people sitting there paid attention. Right. It just shows what most people are doing during chuppahs. But back to the story. So the bottom line is the Messiah Kedushin forgot to recite the Birchat Eirusin. He forgot to recite the bracha of Asher Kedushon and Mitzvot of Tzvon L'Arayot. And the ring was given, and they were halfway through the Ksuba or halfway through the Sheirach, whatever point they were up to. And somebody woke up that they had forgotten to recite the bracha. The question is, what, if anything, could or should be done at that point? So let's get a little bit of a background to the sugya as why we recite this bracha in the first place, and when we recite this bracha under normal circumstances in the first place, why we do that, and then what, if anything, can be done to rectify under these circumstances. So the sugya begins in the first of the Mamakomus. It's the sugya Maseches Ksubas, and of Zayin and Mebeis. Tanu Rabbanu Mevarchin, Bichas Chasanim, Mebeis Chasanim. Rabbi Yudayim Me'apa, Beis Ha'eris, Mevarchin. So the Gemara begins with a discussion not really about our topic to say. The Gemara is discussing about what's called Birchas Chasan. Birchas Chasan actually refers to the Sheva Brachas, to the seven additional Brachas that are recited a little bit later on under the Chuppah. The Gemara quotes the Machlek is at the time, when are those Brachas supposed to be recited? We know that in the olden days, so there were two stages of marriage. There was Kedushin, or Erusin, those were synonymous. And then later, sometimes 6 months later, sometimes a year later, they would perform the Nisuin. So the Erusin of the Kedushin was the giving of the ring or the writing of Shtar. And Nisuin was done much, much later. That was the Dichud room or standing under the chuppah, different opinions, what exactly was done. And the halacha is that you have to do both. The halacha does not require that there be a break between the two. It was customary for thousands of years to separate between the two. They would have the Kedushin, and the girl would go back to her parents' house, the boy would go back to his parents' house, and then they would get back together again in 6 months, a year or so, to complete the marriage. There is no halacha that requires that break. It was only a minhag. And therefore, in the later days, in the days of the Rishon, they did away with that minhag. There was reasons why, technical, practical reasons why they did away with that minhag. But again, the halacha requires both parts of the ceremony. Practically speaking, it was done separated. Many, many thousands of years, it was done in two different stages. And then in the last 800 years or so, it's been combined into one. So there's a technical machlok. It's when exactly the birchas, Sheva Brachos is supposed to be recited. But that's not really our topic. Our topic is really the second here. The second line, Tani Idach Mevarchin Birchas Chasanim Veis Chasanim, or Birchas Erusin Veis Erusin. Birchas Erusin is the bracha that we recite, the Gemara is about to give us the text of Asher Kedushanu Mitzvotav. That is supposed to be recited at the time of the Erusin, at the time of the Kedushin itself. That's not pushed off till 6 months later. That is recited with Veis Erusin, the time when you're doing the Erusin. Birchas Erusin Mai Mevarch, what is the text of this bracha? The Rabban Rav Adav, Rabban Rav Adav, Shavayim Shredi Rav Yehuda Amr, they both have the tradition, the name of Rav Yehuda. The following text, Baruch Hashem Ukem Ocholom, Asher Kedushanu Mitzvoisa B'tzivon Ol Arayos, V'asalonu Asarusos, V'tilonu Asanesuos, we have the Gersa Asanesuos Lanu, Ayideh Chuppah V'Kedushin. That's the bracha. So that may sound familiar to you, at least most of it may sound familiar to you. But in case you're scratching your head and saying, wait a second, we go a little bit more than that, we add a few more words. The Gemara continues, Rav Acha Brei Derava Messiah B'Veshved Rav Yehuda, Baruch Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael Ayideh Chuppah V'Kedushin. So there was Machlekes Amaroyim, whether we should actually conclude the bracha with that final, with those final words, the Kaddish Yisrael, the Kaddish Amor Yisrael, and the Chuppah V'Kedushin. What's the issue? Why should we complete that or not? The Gemara explains, Manda Lachosim Midid Avi Abirchas Peres Abirchas Amitzvah, Manda Chosim Midid Avi Kedusha. That there are some brachas that end just flat. You just say the bracha, bracha the bracha, verb for eight. Finish, that's the Manda. You don't summarize the bracha, you don't recap the bracha, you just make the bracha and finish it. Come on, eat the apple. There are other brachas where we recite a long, long text, and then we recap the theme of the bracha, the Kiddush. We recite a Kiddush, Mitzvah, Shabbos, Kach, Chab, Yavim, Ach, Tashem, Kaddush, Shabbos. Well, let's say, Bich, Samoz, we say, Azonis, Olav, Gurum, Ach, Tashem, Azonis, Akol. So when do you recap the bracha? When do you summarize the bracha or not? The Gemara says, depends how long the bracha is. If it's a very, very short bracha, then there's no need to summarize it. It would be a very silly bracha. Baruch Hashem Ukem Achlam Bor Preis. Baruch Hashem Bor Preis. You just said Bor Preis. What did you say it again for? So if it's a short bracha with no elongated theme to it, then you just say the bracha finished. Come on and eat the apple. But kiddush is a long bracha. Takes you 10 minutes to take kiddush. A bracha mazal, it's a long, long bracha. So therefore, at the end of the bracha, you give a little sikum, a little summary of what the bracha was. The long brachas require summaries, short brachas don't. So the bracha under the chuppah was right back in the middle. Brachas Erisin is longer than Bar Parait, but it's not as long as Kiddush. So we're not clear whether such a bracha would be appropriate to the sakeim summarize at the end. And Amminig is that we do. Machlek is the Gemara, and Amminig is that we do. And that's the text that we say, Adayim Hazesh, Kedushan Mitzvah, Sivan Ol Arayis, Aslat Arus, 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 Aslat Arus. That's the text that's been the Minig Yisrael already for well over 1,000 years. That's what our Minig is, to recite this bracha. Why do we recite this bracha? What is the purpose? What is the goal of this bracha? So the Rambam, in the second of the Mamakamas, the Rambam Menuchas Isha, Sprech Gimel Lachach of Gimel, tells us precisely why we recite this bracha. Kol v'kaddish isha, beinai de'atmo, beinai de'shaliach, tzorach levorach kol v'kaddushin, huo shlucho, v'yachakach mekaddish, k'derach shavrach in kol ha-mitzvot. Says the Rambam that you have to recite this bracha before you v'kaddish in isha, no different than, please don't tell your wife who said this, no different than the bracha before you put on tefillin, no different than the bracha before you matzah, before shake lulav, the bracha ha-mitzvot. You're about to perform a mitzvah in the Torah. The Rambam counts getting married as one of the Tariq mitzvahs. So just as any other mitzvah you recite a bracha before, so too you recite the bracha before you perform the mitzvah as well. And following that idea, the Rambam says in the second line, Vim kidesh lo birech, let's say a person by mistake gave the ring and didn't recite the bracha, which is what happened this week. Lo yivarech achra kiddushin. The Rambam says you cannot recite the bracha after the kiddushin. Shezu bracha levatala. That would be a bracha levatala. What happened. The Rambam would say that would be the equivalent of a person blowing shofar and then an hour later deciding to recite a bracha. Person ate his masa. He's already up to, he's singing chagaj and he's going to make a bracha lechil of masa. That's absurd. Once you did the mitzvah, but yeah, but it's too late. You can no longer rectify. You can no longer recite the bracha afterwards. So the Rambam sheet is pretty straightforward that at this chuppah, the Rambam would say, you goofed, you messed it up. So you lost the bracha. So you don't recite the bracha. You married anyway with the evet. Same way you yetzi mati, you yetzi lulav, you yetzi shofar with the evet, even without a bracha. According to the Rambam, there would be no purpose of trying to rectify the bracha, and fakir, trying to make up the bracha, would be a violation of a bracha lebatel. This is the Rambam shita. So this idea that the Rambam holds that the bracha under the chuppah is the equivalent of the bracha berachas erusin, is the equivalent of a berachas hamitzvah, this is also accepted by the Ravid. But the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam's placement of the bracha. The Rambam understood that it's a brachas mitzvah, and therefore it precedes the kedusha, like all other brachas mitzvahs. And the Ravid says, no, brachas mitzvah it is, but the order is not the way the Rambam described it. The order is actually the other way around. What does that mean? So take a look at the Ravid on the second of the Mamakamos. So to the end of the third line, Om Avram, the Ravid says, Ein anu omrim kein, this is not our practice, El makadesh v'chakach mavarech. But forget the opposite is true. First you give the ring, and then you recite the bracha. So what they did at this chuppah was the right thing to do, says the Ravid. This is we're all married, but the Yevon. This guy did it l'chadchila, according to the Ravid, that he gave the ring first, and then make the bracha afterwards. Why? You never do that. You always bracha before the mitzvah. The Ravid explains why. Because this mitzvah kedushin is not the same as shofar and matzah. This is a mitzvah that depends upon somebody else's consent. If you're going to give the ring and the woman's going to decide at the last minute, she chickens out, she doesn't want to receive the ring, then it's going to be ice condition. It's not going to be a marriage. And therefore, the Ravid says, whenever you have a mitzvah that depends upon somebody else's participation, you cannot risk a bracha levatola. You can't make the bracha first, because how do you know she's going to agree? Maybe she's going to back out, and it'll turn out you made a bracha levatola. So but the Ravid's not worried about the $100,000 catering fee. The Ravid's not worried about it. He's worried about the bracha levatola. That you, everyone's standing there and watching, and he makes the bracha, and she says, no, I don't want to get married. And then Igloi Milsi made a bracha matal. Therefore, the Ravid says, you have to flip the order.
What do you think? Rambam says, for my position, who owes shlucho? So if the woman is not there, it's only by shlichos. So nobody's asking, or you're not sure what the position will be.
No, who owes shlucho means him or his shlich. It means his shlich, his agent, the Mekadishah. She has to agree to the Kedushin. Either she has to agree or she has to send her shaliach to agree. You can't give a ring to somebody against her will. So it doesn't matter, the Rambam says, whether you personally are the Ohr, you sent Eliezer, your Shliach, to do it for you. But whoever's doing the Maisa Kiddushin is still going to be dependent upon the consent, the agreement of the woman, and therefore it will be a Bracha Levatol. So the Ravid says, we have a model for this idea, that anytime you have a Bracha, anytime you have a mitzvah that's Tuluy B'Das Acherim, that depends upon somebody else, the Ravid continues, the Gemara says that at a bris, so there are two brachas that are recited. There's the bracha of Al Hamila, that's recited by the Moel, and then there's the bracha of Lachnisa B'Vishal Avinu, that's recited by the father. It's not 100% clear when that bracha is recited, Lachnisa. Is that recited before the bris or after the bris? So the Ravid was of the opinion that it's recited after the bris. I'm meaning as we do it almost like simultaneously. We say Alamila, and then as the Moel is finishing cutting, so the father screams out the Lachniso. But there are many Rishonim, including the Ravid, who said no. The Lachniso is Dafka recited after the wife for the same reason. I'm not in charge. I'm depending upon the Moel. So I'm going to get up, I'm going to say Lachniso Visham Avinu, and then the Moel is going to say, I'm not interested in doing this bris today. Well, turn out there's a Bracha Levatala. Therefore, the Ravid says, whenever there's a mitzvah that depends on other person's participation, in the case of the wedding, it depends on the woman. In the case of the meal, it depends on the Moel. The bracha can never be recited until the mitzvah is over and done and finished. Otherwise, it's going to be a potential cause of a bracha levatol. But I hope on him, conceptually, the Rambam and the Ravid agree that they both concede that it's a brichas mitzvah, and they both concede that in theory it should have preceded the mitzvah. The Rambam says in actuality it does precede the mitzvah. The Ravid says practically it doesn't because of this tangential concern. But in terms of pure lomdus, the Rambam and the Ravid are pretty much on the same team. They're both viewing it through the eyes of a regular birchas mitzvah. The assumption of the Rambam is clear that the rule of kol mitzvah mevarach lem obelas yason is b'di'evit. It means this idea that we recite brachas before doing mitzvahs is not just a nice thing, not just a lechatchila, but it's even b'di'evit. To make a bracha afterwards, says the Rambam, is mamash a bracha levatala. So not everybody agrees to that. And the reason why some Rishonim disagree with that Rambam is based on the Gemara in the third of the Mamakamos. So the Gemara tells us that, take a look at the first line of the third of the Mamre Kamos in Sachem Das Dayan. The Amr of Yudah Mashmul, Kol Mitzvahs Mevarach Lein Ovelas Yosan. All mitzvahs, you recite the bracha before you perform the mitzvah. So if you think about it, we recite a bracha before we eat the matzah, before we put on tefillin, before we blow the shofar, before we light chanukah candles, before we do the mitzvah, we always recite the bracha. So if you skip down a little bit, the Gemara says in the fourth line, that there are two mitzvahs that are exceptions to this rule, that before you tovel in the mikvah, you do not recite a bracha. Rather, bracha is recited afterwards. And number two, before you blow shofar, you don't recite a bracha. Rather, the bracha is recited afterwards. The Gemara questions those two things. And obviously, one of them is not going to be true. The Gemara says, Bishlava tvila. I understand why tvila in the mikvah, you have to recite the bracha afterwards. Yakata gavi lochazi. Because the person is not fit to recite the bracha before him. Why is he not fit to recite the bracha? But most of the Rishonim learn that the Gemara is talking about tefillah there. It's not talking about a regular tefillah for a woman. It's talking about a tefillah of a non-Jew converting. The person only becomes Jewish after he comes out of the mikvah. So how in the world is he going to make a bracha shir kiddushanu mitzvah yisav divanu if he's not Jewish yet? So the bracha on tefillah there, by default, has to be recited afterwards. There is a machlekes of Rishonim. What about tefillah nashim? A regular woman goes to the mikvah for tefillah nida. So many of the Rishonim, probably most of the Rishonim say, there's no reason to say the bracha afterwards, say before. She can make brachas. And Tosfos quotes the custom that, no, since the ger, we have to switch the order for the ger, we want to keep uniformity in the brachas, and therefore we flip the order for the woman also, even though there's no real reason why the woman has to flip the order. That's what the Ashkenazi custom is. The Sfadim don't follow this. When Sfadim women go to the mikvah, they recite a bracha, and then they go under the water. And Ashkenazi women go to the mikvah, so they go under the water first, and then when they come out, then they recite a bracha. In deference to the fact that it's a very, very shaky custom that we have, the Ashkenazi women have an additional custom that they go under a second time also. That way it looks a little bit like it's Ovelas Yosan. It'll make believe Ovelas Yosan. It's not true, because once she went the first time, she's ready to Hora. So it's just a make believe Ovelas Yosan. But that's what the custom is. Ashkenazi women go to the mikvah, they have Tovlos first, then they come out, recite a bracha, then they go down a second time. Then there's a minute to go a third time, that's the difference. So that's not going to be bracha. That's all a different Megillah altogether. But at least Tvila's Ger, the Ikamik Radin, the Tvila must precede the bracha because the person is lochazi, the person is not fit to recite the bracha. So then the Gemara questions, what about shofar? And finally, the Gemara backs out from shofar. Of course, our practice is we do recite the bracha before shofar. But tefillah, the Gemara sticks to with guns, that you only recite the bracha of tefillah ger, at least, or maybe even tefillah nashim, after the tefillah is over. So the Or Zeruah extracted, when the Gedolei Rishonim extracted from this Gemara, what do you mean that you flip the order? It must be that the whole rule of Ovelas Yosef isn't so important in the first place. If Ovelas Yosef was absolutely ma'akev, that the necessity of reciting a bracha before the mitzvah is an absolute chik to yav, even the dieved, then how dare you flip the order? How do you flip the order? What gives you the right to flip the order? Well, don't make a bracha. The answer is, says the Or Zeruah, the whole rule of Ovelas Yosef was never really ikuv anyway. It's not ma'akev anyway. It's only a din l'chatchila, and therefore when it's impossible to perform, you don't perform it. And therefore, if you goofed and you made a mistake, you recite the bracha afterwards. According to the Or Zeruah, if you ate matzah, forgot to make a bracha, make the bracha afterwards. You blew shofar, and you remember after shofar, you make a bracha afterwards. According to the Or Zeruah, there's nothing wrong with the yabed with reciting a bracha after the or mitzvah. So now we have a major machlokes, a three-way machlokes that we've shown him. What should I take be for the shayl, the person who forgot to recite the bracha beforehand? So according to the Rambam, it's an outright bracha levatala. Make a bracha after the kedusha was given, the room was given, too late. You can't do it anymore. The bracha levatala. Forget the bracha. According to the Ravid, forget lechatchili, you make the bracha afterwards, because it's a mitzvah tluya v'dasa isha. And according to the Zeruah, lechatchila, the Rambam is right. You should make the bracha first. But b'di'evit, the Rambam is not right. But b'di'evit, if you goof, you can still make the bracha afterwards. We have three different possibilities. Could we... according to the Or Zeruah, went 20 years later. On his 50th anniversary, they remember this guy to make the bracha. That's maybe a little bit too late, even according to the Or Zeruah. I don't know. I'm not sure. Yeah, I didn't know what it was. I'm not sure at what point somebody woke up. I don't know. I guess when they realized it was the second cup of wine that hadn't been used, somebody realized, oh, wait a second, we forgot to use that wine. Are there any other factors? Are there any other reasons to believe that maybe we could recite the bracha afterwards? So the Rambam himself, in the fourth of the Rambam Koma, gives us a Pesach, gives us a possibility, but it's going to retract it in a moment. The Rambam writes, in the fourth of the Rambam Koma, Sperkidav Lachay, Aisa mitzvah v'lo birich, if a person performed a mitzvah and forgot to recite the bracha, the mitzvah shadayin asiyasa kayemet, if it's a mitzvah that the asiyasa mitzvah is still going, ongoing mitzvah, we call it mitzvah nimsheches, the mevarch achar asiyah, then you can keep on making the bracha as long as the asiyas and mitzvah has not been completed. Wherever it's something that's over already, it's over, it's over. What does that mean? So ketzer. Hareishin isati but tzitzis. Person puts on tzitzis. Alichat chila, they should have made the bracha before they put it on. They forgot. O shalavish tefillin. Or he puts on tefillin. He should have made the bracha before and he forgot. O shiyashu b'sukkah. Or he sat in the sukkah and he should have made the bracha. He forgot. Lo birech tchila. Chayzim mevarach, he could still recite the bracha afterwards. Achash in esatef, asher kiddushan mitzvah yisrael nesatef betzitzit. V'chein mevarach, achash olav ashlein yechtvil, v'achash yoshev leishe, besuch v'chein kol kayotze ve'elu. Says the Rambam, any mitzvah that's an ongoing mitzvah, you can recite the bracha afterwards. Let's say shofar, once I finish blowing, it's not finished commandment. Once I ate the matzah, it's not finished commandment, the mitzvah's over. So when you have a mitzvah that doesn't have an ongoing asiyah, and the bracha must be le'ikuv, must be b'di'evah before the mitzvah. A mitzvah such as sukkah, tefillin, tzitzit, those kinds of mitzvahs on mishochos, so then the bracha can be recited b'di'evah after the fact as well. So what should it didn't be about kedushin? Is kedushin a mitzvah nimsheches or not? So without having seen the Rambam in Ichos Ishus earlier, I could have suggested that kedushin is like an ongoing mitzvah. Why? The mitzvah is not just a once put secha that you put the ring on a finger. It's being in the state of marriage. Keep your chishish. The Torah wants that you should be married. You should remain married. If the person decides he's going to be mekadesh and nishim agarish, mekadesh, magarish, magarish, that's ridiculous. The Torah doesn't want that. The Torah wants to be mekadesh, keep your chishish, and remain married. So one could argue that being in the state of marriage is an ongoing mitzvah. Maybe one could recite the bracha on kedushin even after the maisa kedushin started because it's a mitzvah adam shechet. But that's clear that the Rambam doesn't hold that way. Because the Rambam back in the Chatishus gave us an example and said that if a person goofed and gave the ring first, Mashanasik Fanasa, the rest is the Bracha Levatala. So the Rambam's lumbus in Kedushin is that it's not a Mitzvah Meshechet. Kedushin is closer to the model of Shofar and Masa than it is to the model of Tzitzit, Tefillin, and Sukkah. And therefore, a Bracha, in fact, cannot be recited. There is an age-old story slash joke about the Rosh Hashivas, that there was one Rosh Hashiva who had a whole Shluch Torah that the chalos of Kiddushin, when you Mekadosh and Isha, so it's not a one-time thing, the chalos keeps on being Mekadosh every moment, every second, it keeps on renewing itself. So one Rosh Hashiva was telling the other this whole Shluch Torah, so the other one stopped and said, Mazel Tov. He said, Mazel Tov for what? He said, according to your Shluch Torah, you just got married just now. I've been married for 50 years, it's a new Kiddushin. So in Lombus, it's probably not true. In Jerusha, it's probably true. At my offer, so I spoke about this. I spoke about whether Kiddushin is an ongoing mitzvah or whether it's a one-time deal. I said, whatever it is in Havacha, in Machshava, in Drush, it's an ongoing thing. You better feel like it's a new thing every second. But in terms of pure Lombus, you can't make a bracha. You're married 25 years already, you can't make a bracha. It's ready of Azmanu, according to the Rambam. So Akol Panim, getting back to our story, what would be a pasuk in the Shadow? Somebody would have called us and asked us, Rabbi, do you make a bracha after the Kiddushin? We would have said, according to the Rambam, absolutely not. According to the Ravid, absolutely yes. According to the Yerzeru, absolutely yes, albeit for different reasons. But we would have said that, according to the Rambam, it would be clearly a bracha levatol. Is there any other factor here? Any other things we should be aware of? Well, the answer is absolutely, that we may have spent the last 20 minutes going down the wrong route. Hopefully we've learned a little bit on the way. But we've been focusing, following the Rambam's footsteps, that Birchas Eirusin is a Birchas HaMitzvah. We viewed it as a Birchas HaMitzvah, the Rambam said explicitly. And since there's a mitzvah to get married, so there's a Birchas HaMitzvah, and it's governed by the rules of Birchas HaMitzvah, and it's over Lasiyasam, the Diyavah, the Chachila, everything we spoke about from that. But we are not even sure that Birchas Eirusin is actually a Birchas HaMitzvah. There's a whole different take in Rishonim as to how to understand why this bracha is recited in the first place, and that's the view of the Rosh. The Rosh, in the fifth of the Maamar Kamos, has a series of bomb caches against this entire bracha. This is a strange bracha. So the Rosh poses the following series of questions. Yesh makshin al nusach bracha zu. He says, there are those who ask a question about the nusach of this bracha. Lama ein mevarchin asher kiddushan mitzvah zel lekadosh l'isha. He says, if it's really a birchas mitzvah, the Rambam's really right, and it's like l'haniach tefil, it's like alachilas masa, so then why doesn't the bracha reflect that? Why isn't the bracha simply asher kiddushan mitzvah zel lekadosh l'isha? Why is it so long? One of the biggest nightmares in the Masada Kedushin is you get under the chuppah, you get up, and you can't find the nuschah. No one has the brachas. The caterer forgot to put it out. No one has the brachas. No one has the sitter. No one has the bench. No one has anything. They don't have the brachas. The Masada Kedushin has the famka, and he starts to say the brachas by himself, and he can't remember the whole nuschah. Looks very embarrassing. So now it's not so bad. I've seen the Masada Kedushin yank out the phone and just read it right off of their phone. But if you want to do it the old-style way, so you better make sure you have a venture there, or you better learn it by heart. So ask the Rosh, why is it so complicated? Why isn't the Nuschab Chashek Yidishanim the Lekadosh HaZisha? Anyone can remember that. Why did Chazan make that Chashek Yidishanim? It's not Chazanus. Not all rabbis have such nice voices. Chashek Yidishanim is up to Allah. So what? What's the purpose of that bracha? So, the Rosh asked another kasha. Heichan Matzinu Bracha Kazay. Where do we ever find such a bizarre text of a bracha? That when was the last time you walked past McDonald's and you said the following? Never did such a crazy bracha. Let's say on Shabbos morning, you wake up and your first thing you do in the morning, you're about to check your phone. If you should have not, you're like, oh, Shabbos, I can't check my phone. Oh, Baruch Hashem, Hashem, Kiddushan, Mitzvah, Shalom, Lechol, Shabbos. We never heard of such a bracha. You have a really juicy Lashon Hara, Hashem, Kiddushan, Shalom, Ledab, Lashon Hara. Who makes brachas on Yisur? Brachas on Mitzvah's essay. So the text of the bracha is bizarre. Asher kiddushanu mitzvot ala rayos. Thank you, Rabbi Shalom, for telling me that I can't marry my sister, I can't marry my mother, I can't marry... Who makes brachas on such things? So for the Rosh Hashanah, two kashas. He says, why isn't the bracha simple? Lekadosh HaSeisha. Number two, why we mention a rayos in here? V'lo einan ha-mevarchin sh'aspon eivim minachai, v'itlon ha-sashachut, v'yo ma'inim ha-haske rayos b'kan. And he says, and stop. Why are you talking about giving a rice? We're talking about getting married. What is the purpose of commenting about who telling you to marry in Eretz? Why in the world do you make such a bizarre bracha under the chuppah? The oath, not kasha, malon lahavke chuppah v'kan. Why does the bracha end with v'kadosh amish of the chuppah v'kiddushin? We're not having chuppah yet. The chuppah is in the days of Chazal, 6 months to a year from now. So why the rush? Why are you jumping up the gun and talking about the chuppah? Kevich b'varchem b'chas eretz m'veis eretz b'vlo chuppah. There's no chuppah here. So who's mentioning chuppah? So the Rosh has four bomb kashas against the whole text of the Birchas Eirusin. The Nir Ali says the Rosh, the answer to all four kashas is as follows. they say that one kash is a kasha, two kashas is a teretz, three kashas is a yisoid, and four kashas is a shir klali. That's what it is. It's a shir klali. The Rosh give you a shir klali. Here's the shir klali. Any good shir klali is one basic yisoid, answers all the kashas. The Nir Ali says the Rosh, ki brachazu ain't a bracha l'asiyat ha-mitzvah. He says, guess what? Unlike the Rambam, contrary to popular opinion, this bracha has nothing to do with the mitzvah. It's not like the bracha of putting on tefillin, eating matzah, shaking lulav, blowing shofar. It's not what it is. It's not the goal of this bracha b'chol. It's not a birchas mitzvah. And I'll tell you why it's not a birchas mitzvah. There's a Rosh reversible reason. Ki pir v'rivya, tainu kiyam ha-mitzvah. He says, because if you want to know what the mitzvah is, it's not even to get married. The mitzvah is to have children. If a person chose to have children in another manner, the Rosh is not commenting whether that was behet or be'isr, but the person decided not to get married and come to biologically father children, so technically he was yet to the mitzvah, whether it was the aver or not the aver, mutter or also, whatever. We're not commenting now on the isr or lack of a pilagesh. The Rosh is just saying that getting married is not necessary to fulfill the mitzvah of having children. It's possible theoretically to do it without it. So he says, if that's the case, the Chayda no says Zikeno Ayonis Wakara. Let's say the woman who you choose to marry is a woman who's not even able to have children. You're marrying a woman who's an older woman that you don't have children yet, and she's not going to be able to bear children anymore. Or she's a woman who you know biologically cannot have any children. Or the Chayda Chama Shenosa. Or what if the man is a type of man he knows beforehand biologically, he was told about a doctor, he knows he's never going to be able to have children. It doesn't matter. You're still Mavarchim Echsanim. You still recite the Brachim. You never heard of such a thing. If a 95-year-old man marries a 93-year-old woman, no one's having any children, they still recite the bracha under the chuppah. Why? Why? What is that all about? So comes the, continues and says, Ein chiyah b'mitzvah zu, she'ein ba'kiyah mitzvah p'rivirivya. Hilchachol niskina bracha mitzvah zu. He says, the bracha that we're reciting is not relate to having children. It doesn't relate to mitzvah's kedushin, because there is no mitzvah's kedushin. After nelsa isha l'shem p'rivirivya, even though you personally, you're young and you're marrying, everyone's healthy and you expect to have a lot of children, it doesn't matter. That's not a mitzvah that warrants a bracha. Because in theory, you can do the mitzvah without the kedushin. It's not even like shechita. Shechita, you're not obligated to shech. If you don't want to eat meat, that's fine. But if you look at kishu shochet lechem avarech, it is absolutely impossible. Not allowed to eat meat. I'll be din without shechita. The whole tangent as to why shechita is different. If and when a man decides to take a wife, so that's wonderful. But it's not a mitzvah. Then he goes on. Otherwise, bottom line is, what is this bracha? If it's not a bracha, it's a mitzvah. So what is it? The Rosh in the last line says, "Ubrachazu niskida l'asei shavach laKadosh Baruch Hu, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvayse v'tilanu min amim v'tivanu laKadosh Isha." On the back he says, "Hamuteres lanu v'achadu." This is not a birchas mitzvah. This is what we call in halacha birchas shavach. It is simply a praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the beautiful, wonderful Torah institution of marriage. I'm not mechuyav to get married if I don't want to. If I have children another way, I'm yotzei pirvurik. It has to be a sir. It doesn't matter. But I am getting married. That's a tremendous, wonderful gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the institution of marriage, and he governs who we marry, and we're not allowed to marry whoever we want. It's not a free-for, it's not a kol shebacharu. We can only marry women who are mutaros to us, and that's a gewaltig thing to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. And therefore, v'iskirubo isu arusel tvetin isu b'chup v'kiddushin, and therefore Chazal stuck in the notion of chup into this as well. People shouldn't mistakenly think once you make this bracha, then you can live with your wife. Not yet. You have to first have nisui. You have to first have chuppah. So the kach is kiru chuppah loy medavka bech the chuppah amateras akala. Lochi nami gdimu chuppah lekedusha. And that's why we conclude the bracha by saying the kaddish abisah de chuppah lekedusha. Loy ma vihite lonos anasuos de chuppah sheacha brechas lekedusha. A whole razzle dazzle. The Rosh says that we daf to speak about the arayas to highlight that the birchas shavach. We daf to mention chuppah. We daf to flip the order. Everything is done, which ultimately points in the same direction. This is not a birchas. If it's not a birchas mitzvah, then guess what? You can say it. If you gave the ring, there's nothing compelling you to recite it before, and that's the Rosh Hashita. The Rosh holds the mikra din. If you didn't say it before, so say it after. What's the big deal? The Rambam Lashitasa, who held that it's a birchas mitzvah So mitzvah gvalt is governed by the rules of brichas mitzvahs. And the Rambam sheet is that's even b'diavad. The Rush says mafitam. The Rush says the whole thing is based on an incorrect understanding of what the bracha is. It's not a brichas mitzvah. The brichas shevach. The brichas shevach is recited afterwards. So we have a few different reasons to defend the practice for the person who forgot to recite the bracha before he gave the ring to permit the reciting of the bracha afterwards. First of all, according to the Or HaZeruah, all mitzvahs can be recited b'diavad after the recite the bracha afterwards. The whole klal of Avodas Yosef is on l'chatchila. Number two, maybe one could argue that the shtikl mitzvah nimsheches, it's almost like sukkah sits and told against the Rambam. One could have argued like that. One of the three, the Ravid says, whenever you have a mitzvah that depends upon another person's consent, the bracha is always later. And then finally, for the punchline, you have the Rosh who says that everything we said was not correct, because it's not a birchta mitzvah in the first place, it's a birchta shevach. So the bottom line is, the poskim writes that even though our practice is clearly like the Rambam l'chatchila, we always insist on reciting the bracha beforehand, but push comes to shove with the evidence, if you made a mistake and you recited the bracha, if you gave the kiddush, you forgot to make the bracha, you can make the bracha afterwards. That's the general consensus view today, that if the evidence, somebody goofed, forgot to recite the bracha, you make it afterwards. That's what I think the rabbi told this couple this Sunday night, at least that's what I would have told them. That l'chatchila, you did made a mistake. According to the Rambam, it was taka, would be a bracha batala. But we don't pass it down. We pass it to Rosh. That the evidence took away afterwards, because fundamentally, in our heart and hearts, we're not even convinced that's bracha mitzvah in the first place. Maybe a bracha shevach, which would be perfectly appropriate even after the kiddush was actually.
It doesn't matter if you remember before the shevach brachos or after.
Right, probably wouldn't make a difference. Right.
If you find the for some reason it's no good, you have to rip up the ksuba for whatever reason. You know, so then
anyway. No, the ksuba doesn't impact on the conditional.
If you have to do that, then the
birchas eresin
will be also
an ovel
because
yeah,
you did that wasn't
the
good
ksuba. No, the ksuba doesn't impact on the conditional. Yeah, the ksuba is perfectly good whether the ksuba is good or no good. And the chiv ksuba only kicks in after the nisuin anyway. So the ksuba is l'mal v'l'mayr in terms of the condition. Look, let's stop trying.
I don't know, I'm sure there's some kind of a gathering.